Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. One does not have to be especially observant to understand that our society is experiencing many difficulties, moral, spiritual, political, financial, and otherwise. All you have to do to confirm what I have just said is to watch television news every day and to read your daily newspaper. Unspeakable crimes are being committed all across our country almost every day. Youthful offenders are becoming more numerous and more brutal by the day. Children and young people are taking guns and knives to school and using them on teachers and on fellow students. Suicide in all age groups, especially among preteens and teens, is increasing at an alarming rate. Between 5,000 and 7,000 preteens and teens will kill themselves this year in the United States alone, up almost 300% over the past 20 years. What is the missing key ingredient in all these tragedies? Is it a lack of money? That cannot be the answer, because during the Depression, the number of crimes per capita was considerably smaller than today. Is inadequate education the culprit? Our educational system is in shambles all across the United States. But we are not committing crimes because we are uneducated. There are countries all over the world whose citizens are far less educated than our Americans. But they are not experiencing the rate of crime we can see about us in this country. Can we blame our problems on our politicians, especially the Washington jungle? Our national leaders, as a rule, are not providing the kind of moral and spiritual qualities which made America great. But we cannot shift the blame to Washington alone. Washington deserves plenty of blame, but it is a cop-out to shift all responsibility for the gross immorality we see about us on the politicians in the nation's capital. The missing link, dear friends, in this great country and throughout the world, is Jesus Christ. The New Testament obviously does not use the expression missing link, but it does employ that concept. Will you please listen carefully to the Apostle Peter? Peter has just spoken of tasting that the Lord is gracious, and then he says, "To whom coming, that is to the Lord, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believes on him shall not be confounded." 1 Peter 2, 4-6. This text will serve as the basis of our lesson today on the subject, Christ the missing link. 1 Peter 2:4 informs us that believers have come to Christ as unto a living stone. The verb coming is a present middle participle and means continual coming. We came to Christ when we confessed our faith in Him as the Son of God. When we turned away from wickedness and embraced the plan of salvation through being baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins. But we keep on coming to Him for the strength we must have to live for Him and to lead others to the Lamb of God. We cannot be truly successful in life without letting Him have His way with us. John assures Christians, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin." 1 John 1:7. Christ sustains us for this life and is the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Peter refers to Christ as a living stone. How can a stone be living? Some might even refer to this expression as a mixing of metaphors. But everyone who wishes to understand can know why Peter called Jesus a living stone. Paul referred to Christ as that rock which the Jews encountered in the wilderness, 1 Corinthians 10:4. But Jesus is not a dead rock, a rock which gives no sustenance. He is the one who is our life, the one who meets every legitimate need of human beings, the one who will take us home to glory. For Christians, Jesus is a living stone, but he was and often is disallowed indeed of men. The word disallowed comes from a Greek word, which is always translated either rejected or disallowed. The word involves repudiating after testing. Luke used the same word in talking of the Jews' rejection of Christ. The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and chief priests and scribes, and be slain on the third day. Luke 9:22. According to Peter's words, the Jews examined Christ's claims to be the Messiah. But since he did not conform to their ideas and expectations, they rejected him. Paul uses a form of the same word in discussing Christ's rejection by the Gentiles. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Romans 1:28. The expression did like is from the same Greek word. So is the word reprobate. There are millions of men and women in our world, especially in the United States, who call themselves Christians, but they really have not fully confronted the claims of Christ. They recognize and honor him as a great teacher, as an outstanding moralist, but they do not receive him as God manifest in the flesh. Even theologians and preachers are not always sure what to make of Jesus Christ. Northwestern University School of Education sent a questionnaire to 500 different preachers of various religious groups. 26% of those preachers denied that Jesus Christ is deity, that is, that he is God incarnated in the flesh, John 1:14. Actually, many so-called Christian leaders of our day are in the same position as the unbelieving Jews of Peter's day. They have examined Christ's claims, at least superficially, and have decided he was not what he claimed to be. They have disallowed the living stone. But that living stone, according to the Apostle Peter, was rejected of men. And also, according to Christ, Matthew 21:42. Jesus had become the living stone because God had chosen him for that position. The word chosen is from the Greek eklektos, which means elected or selected. Jesus Christ was and is elected of God, but often rejected of men. Does that tell you that God and men are not always on the same wavelength? Incidentally, the word eklektos is also used of Christians. Peter wrote to Christians scattered throughout the Roman provinces and referred to them as elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:2. Paul says Christians are chosen or elected of God through Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:4. Because our Lord Jesus Christ is chosen of God, he is therefore precious. The word precious suggests that Jesus Christ is valuable, worthy of honor. Some versions translate the Greek by our English word dear. Paul uses the word in reference to Epaphroditus. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Philippians 2:29. The Greek involves honor, reputation, and being loved. The word has its ultimate meaning for Christians in the worth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Since Jesus Christ is a living stone, chosen of God and precious, then his followers are described also as being lively stones or living stones. The King James translates the expression lively stones, but the Greek in reference to Christians is the same as when applied to Christ. We are living stones because we take our life from Jesus Christ, who is a living stone. As you know from this and from many other passages, the church of our Lord is not a building. The church is composed of Christians who are living stones. When we use the word church, we often use it in an accommodative sense, meaning the church building. But most of us know that we Christians constitute the church, the body of Christ. Peter unquestionably had that concept in mind when he says that Christians are built up a spiritual house. Built up is from a Greek word which means a building or building up. Jesus used that Greek word when he said to his apostles, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Matthew 16:18. Paul used the same word many times when he was discussing building up or edifying the church. For example, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Peter calls the church a spiritual house. We can well understand the spiritual nature of the church when we examine the various descriptive titles which are used of the church. Please take notice of what the Hebrew writer says. "But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn," literally, "church of the firstborn ones, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Hebrews 12:22-23. Paul wrote to a young preacher as follows about the church: "But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." 1 Timothy 3:15. Not only do Christians constitute a spiritual house, we also are a holy priesthood. There was a time when the high priest came from the family of Aaron, and the common priest from the tribe of Levi. But that time has long since passed into history. Jesus is now our high priest, and every Christian is a priest unto the living God, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Revelation 1:6. Later in 1 Peter 2, Christians are called a royal priesthood, or a kingdom of priests. 1 Peter 2:9. "Because we are all priests, we have access to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. We do not need in the church a special class of servants called priests." The Hebrew writer urges Christians to come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. The priests under the law of Moses offered animal sacrifices and other kinds of sacrifices. But Christians are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The Greek word translated to offer up is the usual word for offering a sacrifice. But we offer up spiritual sacrifices. The Hebrew writer explains exactly what these spiritual sacrifices are. "Through him," that is Jesus Christ, "let us offer up a spiritual sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Hebrews 13:15-16. The word communicate in this passage from Hebrews probably refers to giving of our means to support the gospel and to aid the needy. Please listen carefully to Paul's use of the word communicate. "Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. well-pleasing to God. Philippians 4:17-18. Did you notice how Paul equated giving with an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God? The sacrifices we offer to our God, whether singing or praying or giving, are acceptable and well-pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. Since Christ is our mediator and our high priest, we go to God through Him, whether in prayer or at all other times. In 1 Peter 2:4, Christ is called a living stone. The figure changes just a little in verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Let me say just a brief word about the apostles' use of the Old Testament Scriptures. The apostles wanted their readers and listeners to understand that New Testament Christianity was predicted by the great prophets and preachers of the Old Testament era. They often used, with total endorsement, the writings of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and other great prophets of God. In the passage we are now considering, Peter was simply saying, The Jesus I am presenting to you was the one whom Old Testament prophets declared would become in Zion the chief cornerstone. We're not telling you of a new Messiah, but the one predicted for hundreds of years by God's spokesman. The term Scripture, as used by Peter, is a technical term meaning that which is written. The term in the Bible always refers to God's written revelation. Jesus used one form of the word in repelling the temptations of the devil. Each time the devil would attempt to lead Jesus Christ into sin, our Lord would reply, It is written. Matthew 4:4, 6, and 10. Jesus knew the way to resist the devil was by relying on God's word. The scripture Peter used on this occasion was Isaiah 28:16. According to the Apostle Peter, Isaiah was predicting the coming of the Messiah. Peter freely paraphrased Isaiah's prediction. Paul used the same passage from Isaiah, As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense, and whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Romans 9:33. Paul also freely paraphrases the prophecy from Isaiah 28. Please look briefly at Isaiah's prophecy. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. In the context, Jesus is not only referred to as a living stone, but also as a chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone was the stone which joined the building together and held it in place. In the Ephesian letter, Paul calls the church a body, but he also refers to it as a building. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 2:20-22. The chief cornerstone, whom God himself selected, is called elect, precious. How absolutely vital it is that all men recognize who Jesus Christ is and his relationship to God the Father. Long before the foundation of the world, our Heavenly Father selected Jesus Christ to come into this sinful world and to rescue men from the powers of Satan. Please listen again to the Apostle Paul. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians 1:3-4. Jesus Christ is called precious because he is of great value. He is to be honored and accepted as God's only spokesman for the Christian era. That was our Lord's reason for saying to us, All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:18-20. Why does the Bible say that Jesus Christ is precious? Let me briefly suggest four reasons. Jesus Christ is precious because of who He is. Please notice the names by which Jesus Christ is identified in the New Testament. Savior, Lord, Redeemer, Messiah, the Day Star, the Living Stone, the Son of Man, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, the Chief Cornerstone, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, the Resurrection and the Life, the Chief Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, the Door, the Vine, and many others. When we really know who Jesus is, how can we keep from believing that He is precious? For Christians, Jesus Christ is precious because of what He has done. The Scriptures tell us that He left the portals of glory, came to this earth, became a man, and took on Him the punishment which rightly belonged to us. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:1-2, 14. Jesus Christ is precious to Christians because of what He is currently doing for His people. The Hebrew writer affirms the continual priesthood of Jesus Christ and then adds, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:24-25. Paul emphasizes the same truth about Christ in the great Roman letter. And he that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Romans 8:27-34. Jesus Christ is also precious to Christians because of what He will do. Our Lord assured His immediate disciples and us that in His Father's house were many mansions. He told them that He was going to prepare a place for the faithful, and then He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14:2-3. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. If we recognize and honor Christ as the chief cornerstone, elect and precious, we shall not be confounded. The Greek word confounded is generally rendered ashamed. For example, Paul was discussing the same passage from Isaiah, which Peter is using in 1 Peter 2:6. This is the King James use of the passage in the Roman letter. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believes on Him shall not be ashamed. Romans 9:33. The word ashamed indicates that those who believe the gospel, obey it from the heart, and live it, are not ever going to be ashamed that they have committed their lives to the cause of Christ. Did Peter say in verse 6 that just believing was all that was necessary to receive full salvation and to be pleasing in God's sight? He that believes shall not be confounded. But if we want to know what Peter has to say about faith, we must read further from this great epistle. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 2:2. Besides, dear friends, it was Peter who said in the very first gospel sermon ever recorded, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Acts 2:38 and 39. The expression "to all that are afar off" includes you and me. If you are interested in building for time and for eternity, there is only one way to do it: building on Jesus Christ. If you commit yourself to false religions, to the New Age movement, to secular humanism, and to other unsupportable and unreasonable worldviews, you are going to be confounded, disappointed, and ashamed. The Bible makes it very plain that there is only one way to the pearly gate. The Son of God said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. Peter said to the Jewish Sanhedrin, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you this day whole. This is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4:10 through 12. Our only hope is to believe in Christ and to obey his gospel. If you have not done that, why not today? Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.